Hey, I'm Lauren.
I'm Steph, and this is Design Beat.
Hello there, and welcome to Design Beat, where we share the stories of creative women who dance to the beat of their own drum. We hope you come away uplifted, inspired, and encouraged to go for it. I think you guys are going to be very excited about our guests today. This is our first interview ever with multiple guests. Today we're hearing from Phoebe and Roxy from Pander. They create custom art installations and murals around the globe, and one thing that we really appreciate about them is that they are on a mission to end the starving artist stereotype. They have a plethora of resources for designers on their website and tons of helpful and fun content on their Instagram and TikTok as well. I'll link those in the show notes, so have fun hopping into those rabbit holes. In this interview, we talk about Pander's origin story and how they got their start, red flags to watch out for when vetting potential clients, outreach and how important it is in landing clients, and some fun projects they have coming up. Phoebe and Roxy are fun and gracious and so generous in supporting the art community. You're gonna love them. Before we begin the interview, I just want to remind you of our brand new graphic design contract template that just launched on our website a few weeks ago. If you're feeling insecure about your current contract, or if you've been doing design work without a contract, I encourage you to check it out. It's a thorough, lawyer-drafted, peer-reviewed contract that I personally use with clients, and I'm excited that we finally have that available for our listeners as well. You can find it at designbeatpodcast.com/contract. All right, enough of that. Here is episode 26, Pushing Boundaries with Phoebe and Roxy from Pander.
Yay!
Phoebe and Roxy. First of all, why do you have the cutest names? They're so cute. Like, you could not pick fake names that are that cute.
I know. It worked out really well.
Yeah. Our parents, I guess, just...
They knew.
They knew it was going to... be a thing.
They knew you'd need to have cute names.
Yeah.
Okay, so we like to start with rapid fire questions. And this is fun because this is the first interview we've had with two people. So we can kind of ask you, like, who does this more, that kind of thing. So I'm
perfect.
Excited. What are your favorite snacks right now?
Popcorn.
That's always been hers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a sour cream and tortilla chips, which is kind of freaky, I guess, but...
Oh, like you just dip the chips in sour cream? Yum. I love sour cream, so...
Yeah,
so good.
It's amazing.
I'm not opposed to that. Do you like salty, buttery popcorn? Or like kettle corn?
Usually salty, buttery. I like to put hot sauce on it and maybe some cheese.
Ooh, yum.
We're crazy over here.
Cheese is good on anything.
Yeah.
What's yours?
My favorite snack right now? I'm a big snacker. I just did a Costco run. Have you guys tried True Fruit?
I don't think so.
It's like chocolate covered raspberries. Raspberries are my favorite. They also have strawberries, like cherries. So good.
Yeah.
Just frozen.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Who is more organized out of the two of you?
Phoebe.
Okay. I guess.
Phoebe is.
In different ways. Yeah. Like, we're organized in different ways. So, like, some things, like, my desk is messier.
I'm more of a clean freak.
Yeah. But then, like, yeah. I usually have all the contracts on file. So,
yeah.
Mm, you're more digitally organized.
I suppose.
Physically organized. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Who's better at answering their phone?
I guess I would say Phoebe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on it a little bit more.
I usually check out when I leave. If I'm at home, I usually don't have my phone on me, so sometimes I'll miss stuff. But Phoebe's, I guess it's good.
It's a
and
bad,
bad
thing. It's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good at answering. Well, I'm not good at answering calls, but like texts, I'm pretty quick, but it's bad because I'm like, stop what I'm doing and answer.
Right.
And it's like a focus. Do each of you have a favorite font?
Ubu.
Not really.
We use the same ones.
Yeah. we're so far out of that world, but like for everything we use Futura and Geared Sans and or not
Avenir.
Futura, sorry,
no,
I lied.
Avenir.
Similar.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Those are your staples.
Yeah, just clean.
Cool. Yeah. Do you ever fight?
I wouldn't say fight. Like, that sounds way more extreme. But, like, we'll have disagreements or things like that. But being a partnership, a business partnership, we have to be really conscious of our relationship and our communication, because like our entire livelihood is based on our relationship. So we can't really afford to fight, which is good. Like we have to just communicate everything. And typically we're always on the same page. So
yeah, we got to keep it profesh.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like you have to have, in every healthy relationship, you have to have disagreements and talk through things you don't think the same about everything. Okay, what is Pander's origin story? How'd you guys start working together?
So I found Roxy on Instagram. She was my first celebrity that I reached out to. And she had about 15,000 followers at the time. This was 2015. I sent her an email, asked her if she wanted to meet up to talk about lettering. So nerdy. And she said yes. And we met up and we had a great time, talked about lettering and Instagram and all design things. And then from there, we started a meetup group for other lettering people, nerdos in San Diego. And then from there, we were hosting all these monthly events and making small products like pins and stickers and postcards and whatnot. Cool. And then she had always wanted to quit her job and work for herself. And I was like, oh, that's so crazy and risky, but it sounds kind of cool. So she quit her job in December of 2015. And then
Were you both working as graphic designers?
Yes. Yeah, sorry. So we were both working full-time jobs as graphic designers and sitting at our desks all day and basically not doing our work and just working on our stuff that we had going on together. And so she left her job, and then I followed suit a couple months later. And then from there, we were like, oh, I guess we're kind of like business partners. We should probably start taking this more seriously. And then it's just grown and grown and grown from there.
That's so cool. You guys are so awesome.
Thank you. How
are you? Your video content is just so fun to watch. You're so creative.
Thanks.
I love it.
Thank you.
Have you guys always been creative? Like, as kids, were you artsy?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. Like, we both have drawn, painted, created our entire lives. And, like, for me, I don't think I was ever told that that could be a career and was never pushed in that direction. So it's pretty interesting that now I'm a mural painter, which I didn't even know that was a job.
Yeah, and you're killing it.
Yeah.
Were you the same, Phoebe?
Yeah, I definitely was always the kid in class that people would ask, can you draw this for me? Can you
draw my name?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but we had carried around binders in middle school, like the 5-star three-ring binder. Yeah. And you always...
Like for each class?
For all your classes, you had...
Just like a big one?
One big fat one. And on the top is where you put your name in whiteout. And it was all about having your name, like, the coolest bubble letters. And I was that
queen. She was the queen.
And that's where I got my start in lettering.
That's where you got your first client.
Yeah. No, but my parents were, they were supportive. They pushed me to do, like, I remember I took a cartooning class. I took a metal welding class. I was the only... kid in there. It was all adults. I don't know why they let me in. And
you can then definitely tell from our work dangerous. That you've done metal and cartooning.
Yeah. And then I remember I always designed every t-shirt too for like whatever event that was going on in school, and every poster contest.
Cool.
Like shoot for the stars, win that like free pizza party or whatever they give you.
That's so awesome. You guys have just been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to college, both of you?
I'm a college dropout, but yes, I technically went to college for a long time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you study art or design?
So at first I went away to school in Washington State at Gonzaga University, and I was just completely undecided, and I was there midway through my junior year, and they were like, okay, you actually have to pick a major after just like taking classes in every different area possible. And I was just like, no, I'm sorry, I can't pick, I don't like any of this for like a career. And of course they didn't have any art program, So I dropped out. Parents were not happy about that. And then moved back home to San Diego and started taking classes at community college until I randomly took a graphic design class. And then I was like, yes, finally, this is what I want to do. And then, of course, having to go to graphic design school, then basically starting over from scratch. So I did that for 2 years and then dropped out because I was like, I've got all the skills I need. I don't think as a designer you need to have a degree. It's more like, in my mind, portfolio based and skill based. So I dropped out of that.
Totally.
And no one's ever asked to see my college degree because it doesn't exist and no one no one cares.
Yeah, literally nobody has ever asked me that.
Nope.
What about you, Phoebe? Did you go to college?
Yes, I was lucky and I just chose graphic design because people said that's what you can make money in, and I was lucky because I liked it. I really did enjoy all that stuff. So I went to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn for 2 years and was miserable there because of the social setting. It's honestly like the most hipster place on the planet. And I was very like rah-rah obsessed with high school, like loved being involved, and that's kind of the opposite. I didn't think about college being, you know, where you live. It's not just about the academics. So I ended up transferring after 2 years to Temple University's art school called Tyler, which is in Philadelphia. I could have gone there initially for completely free, but I'm a spoiled brat. And because I grew up in Philadelphia, so I didn't want to go to school right there. I wanted to try to go away a little bit. So of course, when you transfer back, they're like, no, sorry, there's no more scholarship for you. So yeah, my parents were like, but anyways, I finished up at Tyler. And again, when you transfer, they're like, oh, we don't accept any of your credits. So from Pratt, so an extra year. So I did 3 years there and graduated with a degree in graphic and interactive design.
With a minor in art history.
With a minor in art history, I was able to get that.
Oh, nice. It's funny because I was filling out a bio or something and I put like my college degree in there. And my husband's like, don't put that. That's just what people say, like if they're fresh out of college. It's like, that's kind of true. Unless they went to like a high profile school.
Right, yeah. Unless you went to Harvard and then you have to tell everybody until the day you die.
Yeah, then you use that for the rest of your life. But then it kind of, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You just care about your skills and your portfolio.
Yeah.
So what challenges did you guys face when you were starting out?
A lot.
Well, in business together or in life?
Like, out of college or like starting
out? Let's say out of college first.
Okay. My struggle was that I guess maybe I have a fear of commitment because it took me forever to figure out I wanted to go to design school. I finally went and then I dropped out. And then once I dropped out, I didn't want to get a job in graphic design because I didn't want to get put down a path that was very specific. Because like, obviously, you know, when you study graphic design, there's a million different roads you can go down, like agency or, you know, at a company or whatever. And so I decided, which I'm glad I did all this because it led me exactly where I am right now speaking with you, Lauren. But so I dropped out and started working odd jobs at restaurants while trying to figure out what I wanted to do as a graphic designer, which led me to just like drawing and painting and posting on this new app at the time called Instagram. And
you're one of the lucky people who got and quit.
Yeah, and I saw it as a business tool very early, which really helped me out because at first I just was like, I'm just going to create and post something that I make every single day. This was like back in 2012, which is the olden days now. And so I was just posting and creating every day. And like, I'm a typically like, I could like, especially in college, I was very shy, didn't want to put myself out there. So that kind of forced me to do that by challenging myself to post every day and create. And also, I was just seeing what I liked within the field. I started to gain a following, and as I was gaining a following, people were asking me to design their logo or whatever. So knowing that I always had wanted to work for myself, it seemed like this is going to be the way that I'm going to be able to do it, which has led me to meet Phoebe and create our business together.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, your turn, Phoebe.
So firstly, getting a job, I don't talk about this ever, but I was thinking like, oh yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't, it wasn't that hard. So I graduated in May, and then I had a job by September is when I moved to San Diego. but I had never been here before and was applying to any job possible. And I was, I guess, lucky that I landed in San Diego, but I just remember having lots of cold emails out to businesses and mailing physical mail out to people, trying to like trick them into hiring me, which now I'm like, I would just die. Like, I wonder what I even wrote. Like, it's probably so weird. Hey, hire this loser girl that has no experience. Although I did have...
Please hire me.
I did have an internship under my belt. Anyways, so that was difficult. Then got out here, moving to a new, basically like a new country, but a new state across the country, and not knowing anyone, never having been here, having to figure out where to live. And then my job was just really weird. I landed here and realized it was like, they had sold it as a really close-knit family-run company, but I didn't know it was run by a Jehovah Witness family, which is fine, but there's basically, they don't celebrate any holidays, so there's like, there was no company culture.
No birthdays,
nothing. Like, we literally had to like hide our coworkers' birthdays and like celebrate them in like a closet. So I was just, I cried in my car every day for the first couple months on the way to work. So that was tough. And then meeting new friends and, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah. So you mainly, your main offering is murals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And design?
Mm-hmm. We do design, but the majority of our income comes from murals.
Okay, cool. What's like your target client for murals?
The target client are people that have large walls, people that have a lot of money to spend, and people that see the value in creating social media moments. We really pitch our murals as a marketing strategy, so people are going to come find it, they're going to take photos in front of it, post it on social media, and that's the benefit to our clients. Occasionally we get hired for internal office murals that are not public facing, so that's a little bit different of a pitch, but for the majority, our larger and majority of our projects are those large scale projects for industries like commercial real estate, professional sports teams, shopping centers, hotels, that kind of thing.
Cool. So what does an average day on the job look like for you?
Oh, today we immediately sat down on our computers and just started checking things off the to-do list because we've been painting for the last 2 days. And so our inbox gets a little crazy, even the, you know, 24 hours out of it. So just doing all that, while we were painting yesterday, actually on the drive when we were painting, we were just talking out loud, like, okay, making a list of everything we had to do today. So we got in here and just immediately emailing, sending out contracts, sending out estimates. We did a quick phone call with a client. It's not as much design work as people think. That's honestly on the smaller percentage of what we're doing all day.
Which is nice. Like,
yeah, I mean, we like designing, but it's...
You can't be constantly... Like, those times when we take on too much work and we have... You know, we did one project where we had 12 murals to design and we had to do 3 options for each mural. So 36 different unique designs that we had to do in, like, 3 days. And we were designing all day, every day. And we were just completely burnt out. Like, I'm like, I can't even think or talk right now because it's just too much. So it's nice to have a little bit of balance, like a little bit of designing, a little bit of emails, a little phone calls.
Social media.
Make some TikToks.
Yeah, film some silly TikToks.
And then paint days are typically like... Wednesday we were painting, we got to our office at 5 a.m. to pack up the car, drove up to Temecula, which is like an hour away, started painting at 6:30, painted till 7, and then drove an hour home. So that was like
a long day.
A long day.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to ask, do you plan out your TikTok content, or do you have like a set time, like this is when we're going to film TikToks, or is it just like as it comes, when an idea hits, that's when you film?
As it comes, yeah.
Yeah, it's usually like end of the day when we're like, okay, we've done too much on our computers, let's like switch to something a little bit more fun, and then we'll do some TikToks. But we don't do them every day. It's just, yeah, when we have the time. And we'll usually go live on our Instagram every day that we're in the office just to answer questions and stuff. So it's usually around that time.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think I've been trying to get more into like TikTok and Reels, but I just overthink it too much.
That's
it
the
just
thing.
Scares me.
Yeah, it's like you can put out garbage and people love it. Like you can spend 5 seconds just lip syncing something and just put text over it later, and if people think it's funny or they connect to it or learn something, like it doesn't have to be polished, which is what we really like. We're lucky that we started doing TikTok the very beginning of the pandemic. So by the time Instagram introduced Reels, we had already been doing it for a year. So we have absolutely no shame or anything. Like, we're just like, whatever. Yeah. We'll just put it out there. And like, the more you put out, the more you get back. And eventually something's going to go viral. So
yeah, it's honestly the opposite of Instagram because it's quantity over quality.
That's an interesting way to think about it. I feel like I was the same way when Instagram stories came out. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't just like talk to myself. Like, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'll just hop on, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think about it as much. Okay. You guys are helping me. That's part of the reason. This is actually the first interview we've done video.
Oh, cool.
For that reason. So we could like do TikTok or Reels or whatever.
Yay,
just for
awesome.
Promotional.
Yeah.
Things. So I'll get there. Okay, so what would your ideal day on the job look like?
Well, I'd say we come into the office, someone just sent us like a bunch of baked goods and coffee because they're like, you know what, we see what you're doing out there for the artist community. Let's thank
them.
We
appreciate it, yeah.
And then we open our emails and someone's requesting a quote for the biggest mural in the world, and it's going to be our first.
Yeah, they say that their budget is $500K.
Yeah,
they only want to work with us, and they're ready to send us the money right now.
And
that's dreamy.
Yeah, then I don't know what else good could happen. Probably just like, yeah, film TikToks. All of our clients are pleased with whatever is going on, and yeah, all is good in the world. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like you've been thinking about this.
I was joking about it yesterday. We run this nonprofit and we're dealing with quite a few difficulties with that right now. And so I was saying, I feel like the universe is going to thank us and we're going to get a really big inquiry for like a paid job. And they're going to say, like, we see all the hard work you're doing for Ladies Who Paint, so we want to thank you by commissioning this gigantic mural. So we fantasize about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Put it out in the universe. Everyone hear that?
Yeah.
Call them up. What's your favorite part about what you do?
I think that every day is different. It's lots of curveballs, which I guess could be good and bad, but it's not boring, so that's the good thing.
I really love pushing boundaries of what's possible and showing other artists what's possible. Like, I never thought that I would ever make 6 figures, or, you know, our business is potentially on track to maybe make 7 figures this year. Yeah. I never thought that would ever be possible. So pushing the boundaries of my perception based on, you know, growing up in this country and, you know, pushing those boundaries, also just teaching other artists and showing them the way so that they can do that as well. Just like, it's very empowering, just like showing yourself what you're capable of.
I love that. And I feel like you have helped a lot of designers just by seeing your content and cheering people on and showing them what's possible.
We try every day.
I think it's working. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Do you have a dream project you'd love to work on?
We want to be the first muralist to paint a mural on the moon.
We're not quite sure.
Wait, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Paint is applicable to the...
Whoa.
We just try to think of a ridiculous answer because people wonder that a lot. And, like, at this point, I don't know that
we always say a rooftop in San Diego, too, because we're so close to the airport, so...
But then if we did get that, we would probably
hate
our lives doing it.
It's a positive and negative. Like, we want that because we want planes to be able to fly over and see it as they fly into the city. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we know that when artists do those ground murals, like, your knees want to die. So it physically would not be fun, but the concept would be fun.
We just finished painting a train caboose That was our first train or caboose mural ever. So just doing more different surfaces that, I don't know, push the bounds of what people see. Like, I mean, we painted like every kind of wall surface possible. So just continuing to do different things, like a huge bridge would be cool.
Big silos, water towers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. A rooftop mural would be way cool, but it would have to be huge too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we would
need see it.
And yeah.
Do you have employees or is it just the two of you always?
We used to have employees for a few years before the pandemic, but then we laid off our employees when the pandemic hit because we were like, no one's going to want a mural. And we decided to kind of restructure our business, keep it lean and mean and just the two of us. And since then, we've had our most profitable years.
We do plenty of outsourcing, though. Cool. So not like employed individually by us, but we hire people for our accounting, bookkeeping, legal,
anything we don't want to do.
Legal stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Photography, videography, SEO.
Cool. So are you liking it being just the two of you, or would you like to take on more people?
Yeah, we learned that we really don't like managing people.
It's so hard.
It's just like we have really high expectations for our business, and we work really hard. Like, we're fine working 14-hour days to get something done. So it's hard to find that work ethic with someone that is just an employee. Like, they don't care about your business as much as you do. And we don't really like managing people, and we don't like telling people what to do. It's just like a really different relationship. And plus, employees are extremely expensive.
Yeah. That is something we talk about on the podcast a lot, is that it seems like a natural progression to move to like a studio model and just keep hiring people and growing and growing. But you really need to think if that's how you want to be spending your time, because somebody needs to be managing all these people.
Also, it's like, if you have 10 employees, you're going to have to be making millions of dollars to be able to make good money. Like, whereas, like I said, Phoebe and I, our company is on track to potentially make $1 million this year, and it's just the two of us. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Props to the good bosses and managers out there, though, because, like, it really is.
It's hard.
Hard work.
Yeah, and, like, with our employees, we didn't realize how expensive it was going to be, not just paying their salary, but paying employment taxes. And when we did have employees, we actually had to cut our pay by, like, $26,000 a year each just to be able to afford to have our employees. And then we were making the same profit as when we didn't have employees. So it was actually making our business less profitable. And now we're able to do more work with less people because we're more selective about our clients. We upped our minimums, we upped our prices, and it's been working out a lot better.
Oh, and we learned bonuses are a stupid thing financially.
Yeah.
You have to pay so much tax.
Giving employees bonuses?
I mean, yeah, the idea is nice, but, like, you pay so much in taxes on them. Like, it doesn't actually, it ends up being way more expensive.
Yeah. That's awesome that you guys were able to learn that and figure out, like, what works for you and how you can be most profitable. That's really cool.
If you guys haven't checked out Skillshare yet, you need to. You can learn about pretty much any creative field from the best of the best. And one thing I love about Skillshare is that you don't have to pay per class. You just get a membership and you have access to all of their classes. And it's self-paced, so you can start as many classes as you want. You don't have to finish anything. You can jump around. If you want to brush up on any of your skills or learn something new, Skillshare is a really great place to do that. You can get 40% off an annual membership at the link in our show notes.
So when you're doing the design part of your job,
yes,
and you get stuck, how do you get unstuck or stay motivated to keep creating?
I think it's really as simple as getting up and doing something different for a couple minutes, or as long as you have, I guess, but just taking a mental break. So for us, that's, it is as silly as filming TikToks or just working on a different project. Just putting together an estimate so you're not just forcing your brain to constantly come up with something beautiful and amazing. There's always scrolling Pinterest and Instagram looking for other inspiration. But I think it's really great to just take a walk or go get a snack in the kitchen or something.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, I'm excited to ask you this question. How do you find clients?
All about outreach.
Yeah. So the beginning of our career, we learned very early on that just waiting around for clients was not going to cut it. We were just going to go out of business. So we started doing cold email outreach, just like targeting different industries, putting together a beautiful presentation, and just tweaking our outreach email until it felt like it worked. And we would send out like 1,000 emails a week, at least, if we could. And
Wow. We
never stopped doing that. Like, no matter how busy we were for the first 3 years, we would still do outreach, outreach, outreach. And that's how we got 90% of our work in the very beginning. Now that we're more established, we have a reputation in the mural industry. We have a big following on social media. Majority of our work now, it's flipped. Like, 90% of our work is people that come to us either referral, or they found us on TikTok or Instagram or SEO. And then about 10% is probably through outreach still. We still do it because it works. And if you want more work, just go find some companies and email them.
Yeah. Are you still doing that volume of emails? Are you still doing 1,000 a week?
No. We definitely, like, don't have as much time, but we'll, like, with this week, we're going to make ourselves put in some hours because we, you know, like any other business, we have our highs and lows. And so right now it's a low point.
Yeah.
So, or at least it feels that way. I don't know. Tomorrow could be different. But, so we also, when we travel, so we had been doing outreach for getting another job in Portland while we're there, just making smaller trips bigger ones. So it's helpful because we get a lot of inquiries, obviously, in San Diego, but if we want to do more work elsewhere, which we do, we have a goal of painting in all 50 states, so that's been beneficial as well. So to get those...
Where are you at right now?
24
How
states.
Many do you have?
24
oh, cool.
states, yeah.
And one territory.
Yeah, and Puerto Rico.
Nice. Oh, that's so cool. So what percentage would you say you hear back from all of those outreach emails?
It's not high. I mean, you just need a few people to say yes and want to explore that. And some of them will be ready to pull the trigger at that instant, but they come back around. So this summer we painted a mural in New Hampshire, which was one of the states that we needed. And I had reached out to them 2 years ago. So,
and they came back and it was a $30,000 job.
Yeah.
So it's worth doing it. You never know when something's going to come back. So it's hard to put a number because, like, yeah, they could reach out in 2 years and then we'll get a job.
Yeah. What red flags do you look for when communicating with potential clients?
Oh, here we go.
So many.
let's do this.
Yeah. If they're condescending in any way, talking down to you, telling you, like, this is how it's going to go. Like, no, this is, you're hiring me. You're going to follow my process. They are, like, telling you they need a cheaper price because they're going to hire you later on, or you're going to get so much exposure. Like, basically any trying to, like, get us to do the same service for a lot less money is a big red flag.
Or even when they just are trying to talk about designing a lot way before we've even signed a contract or have
or
a
even
deposit.
Like gone over how much it's gonna cost.
Yeah, like people really get ahead of themselves, which is fine. Like, I understand that they're excited, but there are boundaries, and so we need to, if people aren't, like, understanding the boundaries, and you have to keep reminding them, that's a problem. And I mean, yeah, we've heard it all. People will try to promise, oh, we have so many more locations, and then they never actually end up hiring you for those other locations, or, like, all this other work, or they're going to refer us, and then they never do.
We don't fall for any of that anymore,
but it's a way they try to get you excited, and you're like, oh, well, then I should give you a discount.
If they keep talking about how amazing this opportunity is for you, it's typically a situation where you just run the other way. It never is. Like, if it's a good opportunity, first off, that's for you to decide, not them to tell you this is a great opportunity for you in your business. But if it is a great opportunity, they don't have to tell you, and they won't tell you. They'll just say, here's the project, and then you decide if it's a good opportunity for you or
not.
And
then you
If there's too many cooks in the kitchen, we had a project recently that was just like so bad from the beginning because there were too many people trying to be a part of this project and none of them spoke to each other. So they'd all email us separately to talk about the same thing and not talk to each other. And it just was such a waste of our time when like certain people shouldn't have even been involved.
You're having to be like the middleman.
Yeah, like for people that work in the same office. Like why can't you guys just talk to each other?
That's so frustrating.
Yeah, there's just like, there's so many. But at the end of the day, if you're getting weird vibes or you have that like uh-oh feeling, just listen to that. Because no amount of money is worth hating what you're doing.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're getting to the point in your business where you're able to say no a lot and be more selective with the clients you're taking on?
Yeah.
Do you ever turn down clients because of like style?
Not necessarily because of style. We, of course, get the wings. concept a lot, and we try to tell them like, listen, it's overdone. If you want a completely custom mural that no one else has, we need to do something different. Some people are receptive to that, other people are not. So we'll usually just try to like lead them in like a better direction. But at the end of the day, like as long as we're getting paid, we don't really care. Obviously, if the content is offensive and they want like, I mean, we've never actually gotten a request for anything offensive, but if it was like racist or something, obviously not necessarily racist, but we've been asked about like, will you paint an Asian themed mural, and then we say, well, we're not Asian, so how about we refer you to some Asian artists, and then we do that and hopefully they get the job from it. We'll turn down jobs for that reasoning.
Cool. Do you have like a formula where you charge like this much per square foot, this much for travel, or does it like change based on, do you decide per project how much to charge?
It can vary a little bit. So we have a base square footage rate. So it ranges from $45 to $55 is the base pricing. And then we'll add specialty materials like scissor lift. We'll take those costs into account and add it on top. Travel, add that on top, like anything extra. And then if they seem like they're going to be difficult, we'll just maybe multiply it by two or whatever we think feels appropriate.
Or insane timeline if they want it tomorrow. If the texture
brush fee.
Yeah, if the texture of the wall is really scary and is going to slow us down quite a bit, then we'll up the square footage rate.
Do you have them send you pictures of the wall or go check it out?
Yeah.
We don't go in person ever. That's such a waste of our time.
Yeah, like, unless it's next door and we can easily drive by it or something. But a lot of these murals aren't in the same area as us. So we'll just ask them for multiple photos and then dimensions. And yes, we have gone to a wall and it's been the wrong sizing. And so what we'll do in that instance is we measure it ourselves. We usually have a tape measure with us, measure it. And then we email the client before we get started and say, hey, we just got here and realized your dimensions are off. It's quite larger than you said. We don't care if it's smaller. We just care if it's bigger. And have them sign off on this would be the added cost if you want us to do the full wall, and have them sign off on
so
that.
So then do you have to wait
before
you can begin?
Yes. It is frustrating.
And that's a setback.
Majority of people don't measure correctly, so it's happened a few times.
They just kind of estimate.
Like, if it's like within a foot, I mean, that's fine. It's more like if it's really off.
Yeah, that would be frustrating.
Yeah, because I think some people
they
use the iPhone measuring tool, which doesn't really work.
Oh yeah, I was so excited about that when I first discovered it, and I'm like, this does not work.
No. It would be really cool if it did.
It's a great idea, but yeah.
Good try, Apple.
Yeah. They'll get it eventually.
Right? Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing numbers, too. I know our listeners love to hear, like, specific.
Actual numbers,
like,
yeah.
I love demystifying that as much as we can. Do you have a favorite project you've worked on?
We always say it's our last one that we worked on, but the caboose was our last one.
It was
cool that it was a caboose, but honestly, the environment, like, it was just so hot. It was 100 degrees, so it wasn't pleasant at all painting it. It's more about the experience. So I guess it sounds awful, but we could kind of care less about what we're painting, but if it's fun and like the people are fun and the,
like, the environment is fun.
Yeah. Like, we don't, Phoebe and I aren't really the biggest sports people, but we've gotten to paint, I think, 8 or 9 murals in different sports stadiums across the U.S. And that's a really fun experience. Cool. Because we get to be in the stadium when no one's there. Sometimes we get to meet the mascot, celebrity sighting. And then,
so fun.
Yeah, those are just fun because so many people see them and it just feels like it makes so much more of an impact. So those are, yeah, cool. every single project has pros and cons, like every single one. None is perfect.
Yeah, that's so cool. Do you have projects you're excited about right now?
Yeah, I'm excited to, off the top of my head, what am I excited for?
Well, our book is coming out. And so we've been working on a book for the last 3 years. And we finally are supposed to get our copies, our advanced copies, either today or tomorrow. So we're like eagerly awaiting to see that. It's like the thing that we've probably put the most work into in our entire careers, just because it has been 3 years of working on this. So yeah. Our book is called Wonder Walls. It's teaching people how to paint murals in their own homes and like goes through everything you need to know about materials and all that kind of stuff. And it finally hits shelves November 9th. It's currently on pre-order everywhere that books are sold. So we're really, really, really excited to have that come out finally. Yay. And for people to get their hands on it. So that's just really exciting. Like a thing we've been waiting years for it to finally come out.
Yes.
That's so cool. What a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, that's not your target client, painting in homes, right?
Right.
And so you created a different option for those people who want murals in their homes.
Yeah. Although we have had some really great experience painting in Airbnbs. So any excuse to go somewhere nice and stay an Airbnb. Like, Roxy painted an Airbnb in Maui. I've done, well, we've both done one in Palm Springs. So it's fun having that excuse to travel to a beautiful place.
Yeah. Airbnbs are awesome for murals because that's such good exposure for them and people want to post in front of it and tag them.
Yeah.
That's really smart. Okay, where do you see your business in the future, like 5 years?
It's hard because we're always changing and we try not to get too down one path because, as I don't know, it just, it's so hard to predict the future. Like, we didn't know a pandemic was coming along and that threw off the plans of growing into a studio, but it also was a good thing. We learned we didn't want that.
Blessing in disguise.
But yeah, we just have goals we definitely want to check off. Like, we want a TV show, so that would be amazing.
I think 5 years we'll be on season 3 of our hit show that's on Netflix. And like,
that would be such a fun Netflix show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. So that's something we're trying to make happen.
Maybe another book. Maybe we'll have all 50 states completed by then. We do enjoy teaching in some capacity. So, like, I could see us being, like, associate professors somewhere or, I don't know, something like that. Just keep growing and changing and adding on to what we're already doing.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
So, since a show is a goal of your work, is that something you do outreach for?
Well, we can't really talk about it, but we had someone reach out to us, and it potentially might allegedly be in the works.
Yeah, so we've had some conversations.
But we can't talk about it. Yeah.
Heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'm excited to hear what it is. If you could only be known for one project, what would you want it to be?
So hard.
I would want us to be the first billionaire muralists.
Yeah.
I guess I would say like multimillionaire, because I don't think there should be billionaires. But not everything has to be financial, but at the same time.
I know, I was thinking my parents would want me to say this.
If you do have money.
And it's a fun like milestone.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're talking about building up the community, I think our webinars and all that, our free mural pricing guide could do all that. But we've also done Ladies Who Paint, and that's helped build up female muralists specifically. It's hard when we just have too many amazing things going on.
I know.
I just don't think there's one mural or logo project that I want people to remember us for.
Maybe our book. Like, if our book was a bestseller and we sold a million copies, I wouldn't be sad about it.
Yeah.
And everybody knew it. Like,
that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Empowering. It's empowering people as well. We're just really concerned about, like, artists and them being empowered. So anything that does that is okay in my book. In my book. And then Ladies Who Paint is, our nonprofit, and we are putting, it's basically a mural festival that we're putting on for the second year. We did it in 2019, and then we took 2020 off because of that COVID thing, and then now we're putting it on again this year. It's all about empowering female artists and beautifying the city of San Diego by installing more public art. We believe that should be accessible as well as for everyone to see. You don't have to go into a museum or a gallery. You can just check out some beautiful art on your outdoor strolls.
I love that. That's so cool. I follow you on Instagram, and I love it. It's such a fun feed to look through.
It is. That's where we go to when we are stuck in designing. We'll go scroll, like, who's done something so similar to what we're trying to achieve on the Ladies Who Paint feed, and scroll through there for inspiration. Oh, I love how they did this or that. And it's a really great resource.
That's so cool. What a cool community that you've built.
Thank you.
Okay, you have the floor if you want to tell us about anything you have coming up or plug anything.
Well, first off, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. And appreciate all the great questions. If anyone has any other questions for us, we do go live on our Pander Instagram, typically most days, Monday through Friday, unless we're painting around like 2 to 4 p.m. PST. So come in and ask us whatever you want. We also have a free mural pricing guide available on our website shop, along with other great resources for you guys. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram.
And get our book.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You have such a calming presence. Whenever... I'm like, maybe we should start our workday by talking to Lauren.
I know, yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Call me up. I'd love to talk to you. One of our first guests told us about you.
Oh, cool. Who was it?
So you have to check him out. It was Lady Bright.
Oh, yes, yes.
She's a muralist.
Yeah, yeah.
She rocks.
Awesome. That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. So I'm so happy she did, because
I know.
We got to talk to you, and I feel like discovering Pander is like this treasure trove. Like, you have so many, have so much awesome content.
Thank you.
So many amazing resources.
Thank you so much.
So check them out, you guys, if you haven't. Oh, I almost forgot to ask. Where did your name come from, Pander?
Oh, it's really simple. P and R as in Phoebe and Roxy.
Pander.
Perfect. And that's such a cool word.
Yeah, thank you. We like it.
It works out well.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
You too.
You too.
Have a really fun day.
Aren't they just the coolest? Such awesome ladies. Thank you so much for coming on, Phoebe and Roxy. Next week, we're going to hear from Abby from Wayfarer Design Studio. Super excited about that one. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. You know we love those reviews. We love you sharing on Instagram. It helps us out so much so we can keep creating content for you and interviewing these rad ladies. To stay up to date on all things Design Beat, you can visit us at designbeatpodcast.com and join our mailing list there. You can also follow us on Instagram at Design Beat Podcast. See you there.